14. Four-man rush again. Fields to the end zone. Moore, touchdown. So Fields, who had the big first half last week, 20 yards here. Down the field they go. Moore catches two passes, six plays, 75 yards in a little less than 3 minutes. And Chicago draws first blood.
Well, watch Percy Butler, the safety. When you have a vertical receiver against two safeties that are high, the linebacker's got to be able to get vertical. Watch the safety be influenced here, and that creates the opening to the outside. Again, give Justin Fields a lot of credit. That throw should not be there if the safety's doing his job. And again, he makes them pay on the back end.
Third down and six. Fields to the end zone, reaching up. Does he make the catch again? DJ Moore, touchdown. He is having a career in one night. Beats Kendall Fuller again. That's 11 yards for the touchdown. He's already caught 5 for 137 and 2 scores.
How about the throw by Justin Fields? A little slant and go. Perfect placement. Fuller never locates the football. And Moore so comfortable being able to get his feet down. Watch this route. Watch Fuller bite on it, man-to-man. Ooh, little inside move, and the throw could not have been any better by Justin Fields.
Pass is hauled in by Moore. Gets free. Washington gambles and lose the gamble that time. 56 yards, touchdown. Fuller trying to jump it. Moore able to make the catch and then free to the end zone. And a 230-yard, three-touchdown night for number two.
All right, that is an amazing stat. DJ Moore and Justin Fields. Fields threw for 282, ran for 57 yards, including a rush for a first down late in the third quarter after tipping the ball to himself following a high snap. And Moore had 137 yards in the first half alone. He became the first Bears player to surpass 125 before halftime since at least 2000. I mean, DJ Moore and Justin Fields, they went off 8 times, 230 yards, and 3 touchdowns. You're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday on a Friday, presented by Busey Bank, and it's not a game, Illinois.com. And don't forget, more coming up this morning and throughout the afternoon, right here on 670 The Score, Mullion Haw, with a pregame show with Dustin Rhodes at 5, 6 a.m., the Pick 6, Ross Tucker at 7, Joe Fortenbaugh at 7:45, and DJ Moore, number 2 on the jersey, but number 1 here on 670 The Score at 8 a.m., and Brad Biggs, who is fabulous. He'll be on at 9 a.m., then Bernstein and Holmes with Brisker and Harrod and Fishbane and Jenkins, Perkins and Spiegel with Kreutz and Weider and Johnson, Jalen Johnson. And again, we're on the air here until 5 a.m. Tyler Farringall is our producer. Let's go to the phone lines and also the text. By the way, Dennis from Sandwich on our text line says, Chuck, yo, the Butkus TD was off a botched field goal attempt. And you're right, against Philadelphia. And then he also caught an extra point pass in 71 against Washington. That won the game 16-15, November of 71 at Soldier Field. So I wonder if the quarterback, was that Jurgensen and Kilmer? I got to find that out. But, you know, I mean, there were some great games. And Butkus, of course, God rest his soul, and the Butkus family and the Bears family, because Dick Butkus loved his Chicago Bears. Dave, you're on 670 The Score. Welcome to the program, and good morning. Dave, are you there? Okay, we're going to give you, Dave, one more chance. Dave, are you there? Okay, I think we lost Dave. And apparently Dave was at the game in D.C. tonight. So let's go to Frankie in Yorkville. Frankie, you're on 670 The Score.
Chuck, how you doing? An absolute honor to be able to talk to you.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, just to talk about the game for a little bit. Number one, man, great job by the coach. It's real easy at that level to get guys to quit on you. But to get guys to show up and to play with that type of intensity – for four quarters, knowing what's on the line, that was big. And to piggyback off what other people were saying about Justin Fields and yourself, let's give him to the end of the year. Let's give him to the end of the year. It's 17 games this year. Let's give him to the end of the year. Let's really see what he has. And let's also be honest. Like, yeah, they gave him a lot of help, but he still needs a little more. I feel like that offensive line still needs two more elite guys. And we all know about the defense. So I don't think we're in a bad spot. If we end up 8-8 or something like that, and we have to get another guy in there, Caleb, and we don't have to pay him so much, maybe that's not that bad of a problem. But if he ends up being that guy, and we can waste the money on the offensive defensive line, who knows, maybe next year we could be a really, really, really good football team.
Well, remember, and this is an excellent point, very good point, the Bears have a boatload of cap room again. Now, they're going to have to take care of some players who want to get paid that are on this current team, and I get that. But still, I mean, if the Bears play their cards right, they could still go for an edge rusher, okay, and stockpile some talent on the defensive line. But I like what the Bears are doing, and I'll tell you what, if Marvin Harrison Jr. is available when the Bears pick, can you imagine Harrison on one side and DJ Moore on the other? Wow.
I'm with you, Chuck. I'm with you. And then, like I said, if we can – Larry Burrow, I love Larry Burrow. Don't get me wrong. Tevin Jenkins, if he stays healthy, that's great. But just imagine if we had two guys on that side that we can really, really count on, along with what you said, with the capital, and we spend it right. Man, we could be a real scary team next year, Chuck. We really can.
Well, again, you know what? Enjoy the moment. A lot of times, it's interesting in life. I just had this talk with a friend the other day about enjoying the moment that you're in, because life is so fleeting. I mean, look at this. Here we are. We're talking about the passing of Dick Butkus, who passed away in his sleep. And he had a full life. God bless him, 80 years old. But again, you know, 80 is 80, but 80 isn't 80 anymore. I mean, we're having, you know, if you, you know, you're fortunate enough, maybe you can live until you're 90, whatever the case may be. But we didn't know. I mean, Dick Butkus was tweeting last week or a week and a half ago about a game and about, you know, his marriage to Helen, where he was married 60 years. And so we have to understand that we need to appreciate the moment we're in and appreciate life. Life is a gift. I just had he's a priest. He is a guy, but he's a priest. And his name is Father Birmingham, Kevin Birmingham. He was a bishop. And I got to know him at Holy Name Cathedral here in Chicago. He loved sports. And when I would see him at the cathedral, we would talk sports. He died suddenly in his sleep a few days ago. He's going to be buried on his 52nd birthday, and he was fine. God. I mean, Father Sackwitz, our rector at Holy Name Cathedral, had just spoken to him. So you don't know. I mean, my father died suddenly. I was in the classroom in the sixth grade. I get pulled out by the principal. I thought I was in trouble. And he tells me in the hallway, just outside our classroom, "Hey, Charlie, I want to let you know your father died this morning." What? And so that's why we got to appreciate life, and we have to appreciate the moment we're in. So right now, we're in this moment. The Bears won. Just enjoy it.
You're right. And like the great saying says, you're saying there's a chance. You're saying there's a chance, and there's definitely a chance. So let's hope the train keeps moving. And let's hope Justin Fields just keeps getting better and better. How about that?
This is a great, great breakout game for DJ Moore. And this is what the fans want. This is what the Bears have wanted. And, again, we're not looking at a Super Bowl team, but I can live with that. I just want to see improvement from week to week. And we are starting to see it. We are. So thank you for the call.
Oh, I can't thank you enough for the time, Chuck. You have a great night. God bless you.
All right, Frankie, thank you. Let's go to Dave. I think Dave is back. Is that right, Tyler? All right, Dave, are you there?
I'm back.
Okay. Were at the game tonight?
I was at the game, and I'm from Grays Lake. I'm 59, so I vaguely remember seeing Butkus play. But my son moved out to Baltimore a couple of years ago, and he ended up getting Commanders season's tickets.
Oh, jeez.
So, in the summer, I'm like, oh man, the Bears are playing out there. I'm gonna get some tickets and we'll go see the game together. And
what was the atmosphere like?
Oh, it was there are a lot of Bears fans.
Yeah, a lot of Bears fans.
But here's the thing I want to say. First of all, I was at the game Halloween of 1994 when they retired Sayers and Butkus's jersey.
Yep.
And I remember that plane that went down in Indiana also, and it occurred simultaneously. So we were driving, his girlfriend was driving us to the game, and we were a couple miles away, and she let us out, and I heard that Dick had passed. I was like, oh my God, that's terrible. I think the Bears are going to win. So then as we're walking to the game, his ticket agent calls and says, Michael, can you, we need some people to help hold the flag out there. So he's like, we were running into the stadium, and we were the guy, one of like 200 guys or 100 people that were able to hold the flag. And I was standing right next to Justin Fields. It was just an incredible experience. And of course they won. So it was like divine intervention.
Wow. Good for you. That's a great story. Thank you. And get some rest. Good morning. Yeah. Thank you. One line open at 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. And again, we're with you until 5 a.m. this morning. Plenty of Bears coverage on 670 The Score. And again, with the passing of Dick Butkus, and I'm sure the Bears are going to do this, but they'll have a patch on their jersey to pay tribute to Dick Butkus with number 51. I mean, when you think of 51, you think of Dick Butkus. You know, the Bulls had a player. You remember this, Tyler? Ryan Arcidiacono. And Ryan's father wore number 51. Ryan's father played football at Villanova. And people say, what, Villanova had a football program? They did. Howie Long played at Villanova. The Hall of Fame player with the Raiders, he played at Villanova. And so he wore 51. So when Ryan Arcidiacono played for the Bulls, he wore 51 in honor of his father, but also because of the legacy of one Dick Butkus.
That's incredible, honestly.
Yeah, that's a true story. And you know, speaking of Howie Long, this goes on a different path and journey altogether. Howie Long, Jim Finks wanted Howie Long so badly in a trade. And the draft pick with McMahon, they were actually talking to the Raiders to make a trade. And they wanted Ted Watts, a defensive back, and they wanted Howie Long. And the Raiders, of course, wouldn't do it. But can you imagine, had that trade gone down, I mean, who knows who would have played quarterback for the Bears? Howie Long went on to be a Hall of Fame player. But the dynamics of the Bears offense without McMahon, what would have looked like? Would they have been able to get to the Super Bowl? Because one thing with McMahon, who is unfortunately was hurt a lot, but one thing that McMahon did, his leadership skills and his ability to galvanize players was incredible, absolutely incredible. And he energized each of those players, challenged those players, and was a consummate team player. And, I mean, hey, listen, we all have our quirks, and McMahon had his quirks. But I'll tell you one thing, I love the guy. I absolutely love Jim McMahon. All right, 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. We have a tweet, a lot of tweets going on, along with some texts. Chuck, did DJ Moore remind you of Johnny Morris tonight? Well, Johnny Morris, formerly people know him as a Bears player, also Channel 2, former Channel 2 anchor way back in the day. But DJ Moore, from an athletic standpoint, and Johnny Morris was a very, very good player, terrific player, one of the best receivers in Bears franchise history. And DJ Moore is in year one with the Bears. But let me tell you what, DJ Moore is an elite athletic player. And I don't think Johnny had that athleticism. Johnny Morris, though, found his spot on the football field, and the ball always found him. And he was awesome. All right, so we're going to take a break. Do we have to take a break right now, or can we play the DJ Moore cut? Okay, let's go with DJ Moore, who talked with reporters after the game about his incredible performance. And let me read you these stats again before we hear from DJ Moore. So DJ Moore caught 8 passes, 230 yards. He averaged nearly 29 yards per reception. He had 3 touchdowns. His longest was 58 yards, and he had 10 targets. So, I mean, he was targeted 10 times, and he caught 8 passes.
That's jaw-dropping. And 29 yards a catch, that's nuts.
Yes, it is. So good for him, and good for the Bears. Here's DJ Moore.
DJ, the last touchdown, can you just take us through what you saw on that little route, and then obviously the little run after that?
Justin just put it in a good spot. The DB was trying to jump it. He threw it out only where I could catch it, and it was off to the races.
Once you were off the races, I mean, what's running through your mind knowing that was pretty much the ceiling?
Score. No, run fast and score. Have fun with it, but score at the same time.
Did you feel running with it, knowing that was sealing the game? You guys were going to finally get a win.
I felt amazing. You know, get the first win under our belts and have that momentum going into the next game.
Those are your best games.
Yeah, ladies first.
You had a lot of emotion all night. You could see it every time you had the ball. There was a lot of energy going in. Mm-hmm. You have a lot of familiarity with this area. But what did it mean to put together a career night in prime time like this?
It was just fun. You know, football is fun. Out there playing a kids game, you know, at the end of the day. And I just looked at it that way. Tonight was just the stars aligned, and all glory to God for it, so I'm just happy for it.
You think that was your best game in your career? Did you feel like it was your best game in your career out there?
I did. I felt like it was. People was like, do you know how many yards you got? I'm like, please don't tell me. Let's not jinx tonight, and let's just focus on this win. But when we got off the field, it was all everybody telling me what I did, and it was good.
Did you get an explanation on the play where you apparently set that?
No, so that really pissed me off because I was about to score. I could have 4 touchdowns, you know, and I mean, the ref got to do his job, but at the same time, it is what it is. We got the win, so I'm not too mad on it.
DJ, coming into tonight, did you have an idea that you could have this kind of night?
No. This morning, I was nervous, out of this world nervous, so I guess that was my body telling me that we was about to go off. So I look forward to having some more nervous days before games.
DJ, how have the last few games been? You get the ball so much more and getting a chance to prove what you came here to prove?
I mean, the play speaks for itself. I'm not really too worried about if I get the ball a lot or anything like that, but when I get the ball, I just want to be able to make a positive play out of it. So, I mean, that's what's been happening, so I look forward to it.
Why do you think you're so nervous?
I have no clue.
Is that unusual for you?
It is. Hold on, I'm in media, babe. I'm in media. Yeah. Probably like 5 minutes. All right. Push that.
He's asking how unusual that was for
you. Not really. I'm pretty nervous before every game, but not like tonight. I guess because it was a primetime game, you never want to mess up on big time TV. So, I mean, that was the whole thing behind it.
Were you guys made aware at all about the Big Butt's passing and that motivational thing for you?
Nah, I had happened to see it on Instagram, and I had told Mooney. I was like, whoa, and like that was like, I want to say an hour before the game started. So that's when I really noticed it.
How bad?
This team played like a desperate team tonight. What was the feeling leading up to this game?
It was like we just needed a win. Get the mojo going in our favor, and it's time to just carry that over into the weeks coming. So that's the best thing.
You did first catch of the game with that 58 yard. Can you take us through that sequence of events that got you off to a good start?
It was a double move, and we hit, we connected, he pressed, and I won, and Justin just threw it out there, and the rest is history.
All right, last one. How would you describe the energy, like just coming off the field in this hallway, in the locker room afterward? What was that move?
I mean, it was amazing. We had the music going. Everybody was happy, and everybody the true message was just never lose that feeling. Like, that's what in my head I was saying in my head. Now I get to say it to the media and to the team. Like, let's just not lose that feeling of what we just walked into in the locker room.
All right, thanks everyone.
All right, that's DJ Moore after the ball game with the Bears victorious over the Washington Commanders 40-20. Meantime, and again, you know, we have come down really, really hard and justifiably so on the Bears. But how about Washington? Magic Johnson, who is a limited partner with the Commanders, because as you know, Daniel Snyder sold the team to, and so Magic Johnson was at the game, and this is a quote, and he tweeted this. He said, "Tonight the Commanders played with no intensity or fire." He said, "We didn't compete in the first half. We got down 27-3 heading into halftime. It was too big of a hole to climb out of, and that's why we ended up losing 40-20. And let's see, he's one of 20 limited partners with new owner Josh Harris. And Johnson has been highly visible as part of the franchise, and he's doing a lot of charitable work, apparently, in attending games and whatnot. And then they went to the players, and the players are saying, yeah, that's pretty fair. And one of the players said, yeah, we came out flat. We got our butts kicked, another player said. So I would think that what have the Commanders now lost, Tyler, what, 3 in a row? Is that right? I
mean, they started 2-0, now they were 2-3.
If they played 5 games, and I'm not putting a coach under the magnifying glass, but I guess I am, because I with the new ownership, I think Ron Rivera right now is on the hot seat. I'm just saying. And a lot of football to be played. I like Ron very, very much from his days in Chicago, and I wish him nothing but the best. But with new ownership, and you're coming out flat on a nationally televised game against a team where you would think at home. What was the line coming into the ball game tonight?
It was -6 Washington, and this is even crazier. The over-under was 45, and the Bears almost hit that by themselves for the game. So this was a bad game to bet on if you bet the Washington money line and potentially under, because the Bears almost, like I said, single-handedly scored more points than what the overall line was at.
Okay. Let's go to the phone lines, 312-644-6767. And let's go to Delaware. Angel, welcome. 670 The Score here in Chicago.
How are we doing tonight? I was at the game. I'm about to get home. I was about 4 rows back. Hey, just wanted to touch on something that you mentioned, you know, how we have to appreciate every day.
Yes, you do.
I really like that you said that. Appreciate the moment. Let's enjoy the ride. You know, I never got the opportunity to watch Butkus play, but I've seen the highlights on YouTube, what you've been talking about when they get the ball slapped out of them. But I was born in 85, and I always go watch the Bears at away game. You know, I was in London when we lost the Raiders. Last time I saw the Bears win was Trubisky to Cohen in Soldier Field against the Jets. That was Sam Darnold's rookie year, but it's just such a monkey off the back to get that dub tonight. You know, I'm so excited. I'm so grateful.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the great thing about this city is we are so passionate about our sports teams. And this is why, I mean, we have 2 baseball teams. We've got an NHL team. We've got an NBA team. We got a National Football League team. And we live and die with these teams. And, I mean, people love the Chicago Bears. And so when the Bears have a 14-game losing streak, longest in franchise history, and I mean it, and you're doing a sports talk show in this city, and people are upset, and I get that, and they should be upset because we're better than this. We should be better than this. So when you win, you celebrate, and I don't care if it's the Washington Commanders or the Denver Broncos or the LA Chargers. I mean, a win is a win, and it's a win. And so
a win is a
And so,
yeah, yeah, a win is a win. Just, I'd be so excited. I mean, just like you're saying it, a win is a win. 14 is almost a year is too long. And we, I mean, my poor girlfriend, she's with me too. She's, you know, and she puts up with these losses. And she tells me, you know, she's always the voice of reason, but at the same time, being optimistic. I was not feeling it today. And I said, you know what, let's go. I'm going to enjoy the game. I heard about Butkus passing as we're parking the car. And I just couldn't be more excited. And, you know, it's a first-time listener and a first-time caller. And I was like, you know, it's just – I'm enjoying the moment, you know, about to get home. But it's so great, you know. And listening to your voice, I feel optimistic. I think we can stack up a few wins, you know. This is the beginning of something special.
All right. Well, I appreciate – hey, by the way, before I let you go, you said you live in Delaware. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And so – you know, Delaware has a storied history of football, great football teams, including a guy by the name of Joe Flacco, who played in the National Football League. And probably, I think the other week, I read that he is trying to get a tryout again with the Jets. But I don't know if that's going to materialize. But Delaware's nickname of the Blue Hens, is that right?
Yes, sir. The Blue Hens also were coached. But Matt Nagy was quarterback there too.
And he had a good career, and I wish him well, and all that good stuff. Was it Tubby Raymond? Is it Tubby Raymond, the coach at Delaware?
Yes.
He had a great run. But let me ask you a question before I let you go. Speaking of Delaware, so their nickname of the Blue Hens. Have you ever seen a blue hen?
I have not. Just like a regular looking like a white hen.
Yeah, I've never seen a blue hen. I got to find out why they call them the blue hens. Maybe there is such a thing as a blue hen. I've never seen a blue hen. But thank you. I got to run because Tyler Farringall is going to take me off the air if I don't do a commercial break. Again, the Bears win. The Bears are a beat-up football team, and hopefully they'll get some players back because, I mean, there was a sequence going down where they're losing a lineman, then they're losing a defensive back, and then they're losing more running backs. It was, like, ridiculous. And so hopefully they can have some players back for Minnesota, and they should beat the Vikings here in Chicago. And then Ryan Poles, prior to the game, was talking about Chase Claypool. And I think it's pretty safe to say that Claypool will never play in a Bears uniform again. He's not with the team, and I think Ryan Poles and the rest of the Bears organization said, you know what, been there, done that. And I give the Bears credit for this. They gave up a second-round pick, and that was a steep price to pay. And according to published reports, Green Bay also was in the bidding war with Pittsburgh to get him away from the Steelers. And so all I can tell you is this. As a general manager, no one is perfect, okay? No one is perfect. You're going to make mistakes. You're dealing with human beings. General managers are human beings. And yet, you know, the whole key is you make better moves than moves that go south on you. So I get all that. But one thing I will say this for the Bears in this case, they took care of this quickly. And they recognize, you know what, it wasn't working here. Maybe it'll work with another club. Maybe this is a wake-up call now. Not his first wake-up call, but his second wake-up call for Chase Claypool. And I hope he can establish himself with a different organization and play well. I don't know him, never met him. I'm disappointed with his performance because in my heart, I think he's a better football player than what we saw. But the Bears did what they had to do. You know what? You cut your losses and you move on. Speaking of moving on, we got to take a break. And it's 1:32 in the morning. We're on the air until 5 a.m. This is Chuck Swirsky, 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. You can call. You can leave me a text. We got more highlights. If you want to talk about the passing of Dick Butkus, please do so. A legend, a flat-out legend in the great city of Chicago. And welcome back, 1:37 in the morning, Central Time, right here in the great city of Chicago. 670 The Score, we are live. This is not network radio. We are with you talking about a Bears victory, Bears Friday, in the win column over Washington in a convincing manner, 40-20. as Fields and Moore hooked up three times. They had the mojo going as they connected for three touchdowns, eight receptions, 230 yards. Justin Fields, his last two games, 43 of 64, 617 yards, eight touchdowns, only one interception, and a passing rating of 131.3. I repeat, 131.3. Wow. Wow, 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 wow. I mean, that is really impressive. All right, let's go to the phones, and then we're going to hear from Justin Fields in a moment. His post-game coverage right here on 670 The Score. Let's go to Ray from Northeast Ohio. Ray, what's up?
Hey, how you doing today?
Good, thank you.
Hey, I need to send a salute to the people, the Bears fans down in Knox, Indiana and South Bass Lake. Cherokee's sending that salute to you.
All right, well, thank you. You know, the great thing about the Bears brand is that it is everywhere. And for that matter, I mean, you look at a lot of Chicago sports teams, they travel well, and the Bears fans travel well. I mean, if you saw that crowd tonight on television, there was a lot of blue and orange and a lot of Butkus jerseys, a lot of Peyton jerseys, Fields jerseys. I mean, Urlacher's jerseys that I saw when they panned the crowd. I mean, it was awesome to see. And now, hopefully with a win, this will give this team, you know, they'll get a few days off. They'll get ready for Minnesota. And I don't have the schedule for the Vikings in front of me. Who do they have? Do they have Carolina next? Is that right, Tyler? I think Minnesota's got Carolina. And so
Minnesota just played Carolina.
Okay, Minnesota just played Carolina. So who does Minnesota have next? Who does Minnesota have next? I gotta check on that. Because one thing about Minnesota, I mean, that's a beatable team when they come to Chicago. Can you let me know who Minnesota plays? Because I've got a...
Yes, sir. I got it right here. They host Kansas City.
Oh, that's right.
Sunday.
Kansas City. My bad.
325 right. On CBS.
All right. So it's Kansas City and Minnesota. Ah, well, I mean, listen, who knows? I mean, you know, I mean, one would think that Kansas City's going to go in there.
I'm expecting a shootout of a game.
I'm expecting you think Taylor Swift is going to go to Minnesota?
I have a feeling she'll be there.
Really? Like, what happened? I mean, is she off on her tour now? Or what are they? Well, how does that work? I mean, does she just say, hey, I'm not playing because I got a game to catch on Sunday? I don't know.
You know, I'm not really sure how that works, but I did hear something about the NFL embracing the fact that she's been coming to those games, sort of the pop culture movement. So that's why I have a feeling, Chuck, that she'll be there in Minneapolis on Sunday.
And didn't the networks give her like a free promo on network television?
Yes, they were embracing the teams to give those free promos away.
Think about it. You know how much, I mean, that's free advertising. Basically, like she needs the money, right?
Oh, I mean, yeah, she's already loaded enough as it is. So, yeah, pretty crazy when you think about it.
All right, so it's the Chiefs and the Vikings have to come here on the 15th. All right, let's go to Justin Fields right now. Can we go to him? All right, Justin Fields, big, big day, and this is post-game presser.
I feel a breakthrough tonight.
I feel good, you know. It's a feeling, you know, that we all had after the game. It's a feeling that you just never wanted to end. So, you know, just proud of the way, you know, all the guys came out and played tonight. And, you know, O-line did the thing versus the dominant D-line. They showed out. Really just everybody, you know, running backs did their thing. Receivers, of course, did their thing, too. So just proud of everybody.
Justin, there was a lot of tension in the second half when they were making their comeback. How did it feel to you to see DJ running away with the ball at the end and knowing that that was
going to
be it?
Yeah. Sire, the sign of relief for sure. You know, I think we just had to reset. Of course, the drive where we had a false start, you know, everybody was kind of jumping around a little bit, but it just went over to the guys and just said, you know, calm down. You know, we're in a great position. Defense going to go out there and do their thing. And they did, got a stop. And, you know, of course, when DJ made that catch and catch and run, it was pretty much game over by then. So, you know, heck of a play, great catch. Great protection up front and executed it well.
Do you think he stepped out on the other play?
I couldn't see it, but I think they should have just let it play out and then, of course, review it and then overturn it. But they usually do that. I'm surprised it didn't. But I'm going to go with him and say that he didn't step out, even though I couldn't see it at all. But he didn't think he stepped out. But,
he had the majority of your yardage today, and he should. I mean, you're throwing to him all the time. He's there for that reason. What does that change about your game to have the best receiver that you've played with during your career?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it makes my job easier. They left him one-on-one more times than I thought they would tonight. So, you know, when you always have him one-on-one, you know, he's going to win 95% of the time. So, just thankful for him, to be honest. He makes my job way easier. So, he showed up tonight. 8 catches for 230. Like, that's a crazy stat right there. So, he definitely did his thing tonight, for sure.
The first third down that gets him for 58, can you just walk us through that play there?
Yeah, I mean, that was just a pure progression left to right. Got one high on that, and he was just one-on-one, like I said again. So, one-on-one. He double move at the top, cut the corner off of him, and then he was wide open. So, great protection because, I mean, you definitely need time on that play for that, you know, route to develop. Great protection up front. And, of course, he routed up the corner at the top. So, I mean, made my job easier. But he was wide open. So, yeah.
Justin, as far as throwing to DJ, have you gotten more, I don't want to say forced it to him, but have you gotten more aggressive throwing to him than you were in the first couple games?
Not really. I mean, you know, I think, my biggest thing to Luke is anytime we can give him the ball, you know, he's get him the ball because one, he's a great receiver. We all know that. But, you know, two, just with the football in his hands, you know, he's able to make guys miss, you know, like you saw in that. He had like a 10-yard stop route or whatever, caught it, made the corner miss, broke the tackle. So anytime you can give him the ball, you know, it's always going to, you know, be good for us, for sure.
It's a 10-point game in the fourth quarter, and you have that drive that you lead them down. Like, how important is that for you to be able to put a team away on the road and get that?
Yeah, I mean, it's really important. I was just, you know, preaching to the O-line before the drive started, like, touchdown seals the deal right here. So, you know, glad we were able to go out there and do it. Like I said, they protected their butts off all night against a great defensive line. Proud of those guys for the work they put in, you know. Really just proud of everybody, you know, proud of everybody blocking the outside noise out and really just working. So really a tribute to everyone in the building for doing that.
The passing game had more carries tonight than he'd ever had in his career combined, something like that. What's it say that he was able to step up when you guys ran out of running back?
Yeah, I mean, he's a ball player. You know, you can put him anywhere and he's going to, you know what to do. You know, he's just a football player. Put him at tight end, receiver, running back, fullback, and, you know, he's going to get the job done. So proud of him for stepping in, doing his job, and really just, you know, carrying the run game late in the game.
Come back and try, and, you know, on the one play, to shake his head and go off. Is that hard to watch?
I mean, I asked him on the sideline how he felt. He said he felt good enough, but, you know, he came in, and then, of course, I didn't see him after that. But, you know, I'm just thinking he's getting a break. But I kind of got it after, you know, he didn't come back in. But, you know, it just shows you what kind of person he is, how much he loves this game, how much he loves the team. So, you know, just the amount of, you know, effort and try that, you know, he was even able to, you know, come back on the field and just try to play with his brothers out there. That's a, you know, we see that as a team. So that makes us want to play harder for him. And, you know, I should have just made a better throw so he wouldn't have got hurt, to be honest. But proud of him regardless. So,
Justin, you tried lowering your shoulder on that one play. Can you just take us through that where you're trying to, you know.
Yeah. I pick and choose when I do that. You know, usually I don't do that. But saw a little corner and tried to, you know, give him a little But, yeah, I probably won't see that too much. I mean, anymore. I'll probably get talked to about that in film. Probably just, you know, taking care of myself and doing that stuff. But, yeah, I pick and choose. I know the DB probably weighed like 190, but linebacker, you probably won't see me doing that. But pick and choose when I do that.
Tush push, is that new for you guys? Breaking that a little bit?
I mean, not really. We've had it in for, you know, quite some time. I think the O-line did a great job executing it tonight. And, you know, anytime you can get a third and short, fourth and short, and be able to convert on those downs and get a new set of downs, that's going to be big for offense and defense. So, you know, glad we were able to execute on those third and shorts tonight.
It's a moving parts on the offensive line, especially at center, and having even Tevin back in there. How do you think they did and managed all the moving parts?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we were preparing for that to happen pretty much all week. You know, Lucas and Cody were both, you know, playing center this week during the walkthrough, so I kind of knew that could have went down that way. But, you know, I think they handled it really well. You know, all those guys in the room are really close. They get each other better each and every day in practice. So, you know, just proud of the way Cody stepped in at center. And, you can really put Cody anywhere, guard or center. He's going to get the job done. So, and, of course, you know, it's always good having Tevin back playing ball. So, yeah, but proud of those guys and the way they play tonight.
You mentioned the feeling in the locker room. How would you describe what that felt like?
Just felt good. Just seeing all the hard work pay off, especially, you know, getting a dub after everything that's, you know, happened this year, you know, everything in the media, everything on the outside. It just feels good when you can say that the hard work paid off. So again, I'm proud of everybody in the building. I love everybody on my team, players, coaches, shoot, everybody upstairs. I might not even know them, but I love y'all. So, but yeah, so I mean, that feeling was, you know, like I said before, a feeling that you never wanted to end. And, you know, we just got to keep this momentum going and, you know, just get ready for Minnesota coming up next week. So appreciate y'all.
All right, Justin Fields, put him in the hall. Put him in the Hall of Fame. You got to love it. I'm so happy for that young man. I really am. And again, Justin Fields, last two games, bears repeating, 43 of 64, 617 yards, 8 touchdowns, only 1 interception, a passing rating of 131.3. And I mean, I'm looking at these injured players. I mean, they were going left and right. I mean, on both sides of the ball, Tyler. I mean, the running backs are like done, at least for this ball game, and hopefully they'll get some rest and they'll take care of their injuries for the Vikings game on the 15th at Soldier Field. But I mean, you know, whether it was the O-line or whether it was DBs or whether it's the running backs. So, you know, I'm giving a game ball to the medical staff because they were on the field more than some of the players. Unbelievable. And again, I'm happy for Matt Eberflus because he's been under the microscope big time. I mean, the heat has been, you know, and again, I get it. It comes with the territory, yada, yada, yada. But I'm happy for, I never met the guy. See, one thing, I'm filling in here, okay? I don't cover the Bears. I've never been in their locker room in this era. Way back in the day, in the late 70s and 80s and 90s, I was there. That's a long, long, long time ago. So I don't know anybody in the Bears organization other than maybe Brandon Faber, Brandon was with the Bulls at one time, then the Blackhawks. But, I mean, I haven't seen Brandon in, I don't know, years. And then the McCaskies. But for the most part, I don't know anybody. I don't know any players. I don't know the coaching staff. So I'm just a Joe Bag of Donuts. I'm just watching the game like you are, folks, on television and listening to these audio cuts that are provided by our great tech staff here at 670 The Score. So, like, my canvas is just blank. So when I watch a play, I watch a play. I don't have any agenda, but I am happy for the coaching staff because this has been a bizarre year, to say the least. I mean, they've had, like, one issue after another. Oh. So hopefully they can put something together here, and let's hope that Carolina will lose some games. Who does Carolina have this weekend?
Oh, Carolina's got their hands full. They are traveling to Detroit on Sunday.
That's an L.
That's an L.
Yeah, Detroit's going to win that football game.
By a lot.
Yeah. So, what's the line in that game? Do you know, Tyler? Can you look that up? I mean, I have no idea. I don't gamble. I don't bet. But I would think Detroit's got to be favored by, what, 7? 7 or 8? I don't know.
Detroit is currently 10-point favorites, 10? Over under at 44.
A double-digit 10?
Double-digit favorite.
Wow. Okay, well, I mean, all I can tell you is that the Bears are in really good shape for this draft coming up.
Listen to these next two games coming up, too, for Carolina. After Detroit, they travel to Miami.
So that's another.
There's a whammy right there.
So what's Carolina's record right now? 0-4, right?
0-4, about to be 0-5.
0-5, then 0-6. They're not winning in Miami, I can tell you that right now.
No, and this next game, I'm not completely outruling them, but they are hosting the Houston Texans. And if you've seen CJ Stroud, yep, he's looked quite remarkable for these first couple weeks.
Two 300-yard games.
and almost going to break the NFL record for most pass attempts to start his career without an interception.
Okay, so that would probably be maybe a pick'em game, I guess. Maybe, I don't know.
I would agree. And then I'll just go through these next two games. They host Indianapolis, then they travel to Chicago to face the Bears.
See, that's
on Thursday Night Football on November
9th. Bears. Because if the Bears win, that's another loss for Carolina. And if the Bears somehow lose this game, their draft position gets better. So, I mean, obviously I want the Bears to win because right now, I mean, they're playing with house money right now with Carolina.
The Bears win either way in that game. Let's
yes,
put it
they
that
do.
Way.
Absolutely.
Actually, I'll get this too. Every time Carolina loses, the Bears win.
There you go.
Mark it right there.
Yes. So when I check the schedule, who do I want to win? The team that plays the Carolina Panthers. All right.
Sorry, Bryce Young. You seem like a nice kid, yeah, but rooting against
like a nice
you this
kid.
Year.
Yeah, you think, I mean, it's way too early to judge this. You think Carolina's looking in their quiet moments when no cameras and no microphones, and they're having a little, like, seance with the GM and the coaching staff? What did we do? You think they're not there yet, but I'll tell you what, it's looking really, really good for the Bears. That trade.
Not only that, but I mean, it's you can't overlook what CJ Stroud's doing in his first couple starts. And you're right, they're not there yet, but they've got to be scratching their heads because Bryce, I mean, looking at him out there, he looks smaller than Tua. He looks smaller than Drew Brees. I worry about him with that kind of shaky offensive line. So
but they
you're right,
this.
They got to be
mean,
thinking,
they,
what are they doing?
Obviously, I mean, they knew this when they drafted the kid and they invested so much. And everything I've heard about him, he is a wonderful person.
Absolutely.
Great kid. I mean, bright, articulate, good, solid football IQ, everything you want. The question is, does he have enough to merit that type of trade? It's way, way too early. Way too early. I mean, you know, even if they have a horrible year, I mean, we won't know about him for years 2 and 3 and probably 4. But I really like Anthony Richardson. I loved him at Florida, and I thought that was a great pick by the Colts. But I'll tell you what, Justin Fields, if he keeps going, and let's say the Bears get Carolina's pick, number 1 overall in the draft, teams are going to be calling the Bears to move up to get that pick to draft Caleb Williams. And if Justin Fields has a really good year and deserves this contract to stay in Chicago, you could hear that last clip where he loves playing here. He wants to be in Chicago. And who wouldn't want to be the quarterback of the Chicago Bears?
Yeah, let me ask you something here, Chuck. You bring up a great point. So let's say the Bears get the number one pick virtue of Carolina being the worst team in football. They're sold on Justin Fields. If you were Ryan Poles, what are you doing with that first pick? Are you going with Marvin Harrison Jr.? Or are you trying to boost that defensive line, which they did not do in the draft by taking Darnell Wright over Jalen Carter?
Well, you have to believe that whoever gets the second pick in the draft behind the Carolina pick, i.e. Bears. So let's say the Bears get the number one overall pick by virtue of Carolina, okay? And let's say who's right now the second worst team in the NFL, would you say? Okay, let's say that now that the Bears have won, let's put the Bears aside for a second. Who would be the second worst team in the National Football League?
This may surprise you, but I'm going to go with the Raiders.
Really? Okay. So let's say, hypothetically, let's say the Raiders have the second worst, and they're going to need a quarterback. Would you agree with that? Jimmy G is, I don't know.
They have an option to move on from Jimmy Garoppolo after this year.
Okay, great. So let's say they have the second pick. And let's say they really want Caleb Williams. They're going to pick up the phone with the Bears, and they're going to say, okay, guess what? We're going to flip. And then Ryan Poles will say, okay, we'll flip. We'll slide back. But guess what we want? We want your pick next year. And if the Raiders say, okay, you do it so fast, your head would spin. And then maybe they'll toss in a fifth-round pick, a third-round pick, whatever the case may be. Maybe the Bears will say, we want freeze the top 25, 30 players, but we're going to pick somebody from 25 to 30 on your roster.
Okay. And maybe one more thing, too, is like Ryan Poles was able to, you say, fleece DJ Moore away. Maybe he gets that defensive player in. And
thank you.
Getting that. And I think it'd be Max Crosby. No question on that Raiders team. He is a beast.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if he's going to be available, but let's say the Bears slip from 1 to 2. Yeah, we're just speculating. You know?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, it's like fantasy football, whatever.
Oh, I love going over these.
So, yeah. But so let's say the Raiders. Let's say the Raiders have the number 2 overall pick. They want to move up, and obviously they want to nurture that Vegas base with the fan base, and why not get the USC quarterback, okay? So the Bears get the Raiders pick for 25, right? That would be
yes.
The 25 pick. 2025 in addition to the second overall pick. So then the Bears can say, we're going for Lime, we're going for Harrison. Then on top of that, the Bears get their own pick. And let's say the Bears win 4 more games, 5 more games. Let's say they win 6 games or 7. Let's say they go on a run. And let's say they end up getting the 11th pick in the draft, 10, 11, somewhere around
Seems
there.
Plausible.
Okay, they can still get a really good pick with the 10th pick in the draft. Okay, so you've come out with the second overall pick, and then the 10th pick in the draft, and then next year, because the Raiders are still the Raiders, you know?
Yes.
And they'll probably have a coaching change, don't you think? I would think the Raiders are going to go for Lincoln Riley in the offseason. I would think if they get that pick and they get Caleb Williams, they're going to make a run to get Lincoln Riley.
That would be almost probably more obvious from when the Cardinals hired Cliff Kingsbury
yes.
when they got Kyler Murray.
But I think Lincoln Riley's a better coach.
That, yeah, I would maybe have to agree. You know, funny story, Cliff Kingsbury is actually working for Lincoln Riley. He's Caleb Williams' quarterback coach at USC.
I'll say this. Jim Harbaugh is very close with Mark Davis, who's running the Raiders.
He almost took the Raiders
he
job,
almost
didn't
took
he?
It. Yes, he did. But I think Lincoln Riley, who's making a ton of money, and I think with the USC going into the Big Ten, it'll be interesting to see whether or not he's on board with that. And I'm talking about really, really on board instead of like the 20-second sound bites. So, but if Lincoln Riley is presented with a situation to become a head coach in the National Football League, and by the way, it's a package deal, and we got Caleb Williams, I think that's very enticing for Lincoln Riley, who I think is a tremendous coach. I really like him.
No Great. Question.
Anyway, so we just figured out the draft. Why bother going through it?
Look
anyway,
at that. Look
are,
at us.
Yeah, we are celebrating the Bears win. We're going to go to the phone lines at 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. By the way, speaking of coaches, have you heard the latest bizarre rumor about Urban Meyer going to Michigan State?
Really? No, yeah. I have not.
Now, again, every time there's a coaching vacancy, you know, Urban Meyer.
He was supposed to go to Nebraska. Yeah, that never happened.
Yeah. And who knows? Maybe he wants back in. And maybe the guy is born to coach, except in Jacksonville.
There's always that itch. I was never convinced when he was done at Ohio State that he was done for good.
No, or
so I could see that happening.
Yes. All right. It's 2 a.m. in the morning. And this is Chuck Swirsky. We're on the air, by the way, until 5 a.m. This is live. This is not tape. You know how sometimes you hear something? Wait a minute. We just heard that an hour ago. That's not the case here. This is live on 670 The Score, home of plenty of great Bears conversation.